to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. We are now in our third and final hour of tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, November 14th, and once again we find ourselves broadcasting live from AM 1380 WLRM studios in Memphis, Tennessee. It's our flagship, but not our only affiliate station. We're going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network as well, as we simulcast on the Internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's our official home base on the net, ladies and gentlemen, and libertynewsradio.com, in addition to satellite and even via telephone now, the Liberty News Wire. I'm James Edwards, joined in studio now by my co-host, Winston Smith, and we've talked about a couple of subjects tonight. We're trying to be very thorough in our commentary. We haven't talked about quite as many subjects as we normally do, but the subjects we are talking about tonight, we are exhausting, and sometimes you need to have exhaustive commentary on certain subjects, particularly now as timely as we're entering into the very holy Christmas season. And I knew better than to let Winston get going with only one segment to try to squeeze all that in. We were just beginning to percolate, and then bam, you got the end of the hour, you got a 6-minute timeout for network news tidbits, and here we are again. But the point Winston was making, he was being very direct, but he was also very correct in his direct manner of approach there. We've got to engage our enemies on the front lines. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, that the people who are working to destroy Western civilization are evil people, and they should be treated as such. And I'm not advocating violence in any way, shape, or form. We never have, never will on this show. That's not the way we do things. We want to engage our enemies in the court of public opinion. We want to work as the left has worked, minus the violence that they always do, but we want to work as they have worked in solidifying and rallying and charging forward and not taking defeat as an option. But, Winston was talking about the Jewish assault on Christianity, and it's unmistakable. Now, yes, there are some Jews out there that believe in America, that are constitutionalists, but statistically, let's just face it, they're negligible. There are some out there. We've had them on this show. But what we're talking about is the radical sect of Zionist extremists that, without a doubt, have been behind just about every assault on America that has detrimentally affected us. Now, it goes without saying, too, that they have been aided and abetted by a great number of Gentile traitors. Certainly just about every president since Jefferson Davis would be in that category. It got accelerated with John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, for example. And, but this is, and now, as Pat Buchanan said himself, it's, Capitol Hill is entirely Israeli-occupied territory. And let's not mistake the facts also, while we're on this subject, that Jews are almost always liberal. I mean, they voted overwhelmingly for Obama before that, Kerry, Gore, and Clinton, and so on and so forth. So, listen, we got to be able to talk frankly and candidly about who is working against us. And when I say us, I'm talking about, yes, European Americans for one, but more specifically, paleoconservative European Americans. That's the ones we really care about, because I tell you, you're talking about, John Kennedy and Lyndon B. Johnson would be our people, so to speak, but they weren't our people, if you know what I'm saying. But Winston, you were on a roll there. I hated that we got cut short. Was there anything else you wanted to add as the war on Christmas continues almost unabated? Because I tell you, if they could reach places like Amelia, Ohio, they are everywhere. You would expect not to see a Christmas message in the middle of Times Square, but if they can affect the way that an obscure, probably all-white Christian town in Ohio conducts its yearly parade, there's nowhere that they don't exist.
James, I want to ask our listeners a question. I want to present them with a hypothetical situation. Suppose you have your mother. You take your mother, and suppose somebody says, your mother is offensive to me, and your mother is so offensive to me that I want laws passed that say you can no longer take your mother in public because your mother is so odious to me. Your mother is so disgusting and so low to me that I just don't want her seen in public because I might accidentally see her, and I just don't like to walk around disgusted. How would you take that? You would probably be fired up. Yeah. You would be mad as hell. You wouldn't take it. You would go after that person and say, you know, I'm offended that you think so lowly of my mother, and you're going to the legal system to force me to keep my mother hidden. Well, that's hypothetical, but it's not all that far removed from what is happening in the war on Christmas. You have this group of people, these thugs, these hate mongers, these Judeo mongers, who find our religion such an odious thing, such a disgusting thing, that they want laws passed to prevent us from expressing our religion in public. Now, if there ever was a disgusting religion, it is Judaism, folks. You read about the rampant pedophilia that goes on in Judaism, especially in places like New York. That is disgusting. And those are the people who are saying our religion is so disgusting that it deserves to be unseen. Now, that is what is happening, my friends. And if you are satisfied with somebody saying that the most precious thing to you, your religion, is so disgusting and so nauseating that that it shouldn't be seen in public, well, then go your way. In fact, just abandon your religion. Abandon it. Because you're no good to it. And it's no good for you. It hasn't affected you one bit. But if you, like me, am offended when a bunch of Judeo-mongers succeed in getting our religion, the public expression of our religion, criminalized, then it's time to do something about it.
That's right. And that's what we've been talking about tonight. It doesn't matter. Listen, all of these issues, Winston, you are really on a roll tonight. I really appreciate what you're bringing to the program. All of these issues should animate us to take action. Now, this one, obviously, I believe is much more serious, but in no less way should we take any less action on the issue that we were talking about earlier in the program. Ole Miss bans the battle flag. We should boycott those games. We should be out there raising the seventh level of hell, you know, outside of that stadium, protesting the administration, the school administration, so on and so forth. You know, people get fired for making comments supporting traditional marriage. Marriage, period. Marriage is only between a man and a woman. Now, see, I'm getting caught up in the liberal game now, defining it as traditional. Marriage is marriage, man and a woman. So people who defend marriage, you know, they're getting fired. Our people should take action. Christmas is under attack. Our people should take action. We should take action on all of these things. I think, obviously, a little more fervently over the attack on Christmas, the most holy of days in our calendar. But, you know, all of these things we should take action on. But unfortunately, Winston, we're not taking action on any of them. Now, see what happens there in Amelia, Ohio, where everybody gets mad because they can't have a Christmas parade, but they don't really do anything about it except go home and growl over the, you know, over a beer. They have a beer and they complain about it. They don't do anything about it. And we got to do more. I mean, we're trying to do what we can on this radio show, but I mean, we're not going to, you know, turn the rudder of the Titanic. You know, we're going to make a difference, but not enough of a difference to change the course of this country. But if everyone out there listening to us has the same effect that we have, then we can, and we will. We will, you know, but just our folks, you know, I don't understand what it is about the left that seems, I mean, obviously they have a lot of advantages over us now, but they didn't back in the 1950s when they were beginning to make an impact on American society. We need to look at their playbook. We need to reenact and mimic their tactics. Because they've been successful. They've been the only thing that's been successful. Everything we've tried has failed. We try to elect a president. We don't do it. We don't ever vote again. You know, we got to do more. We've got to be relentless in our, you know, tenacity to stand up for what's right and what's good and what made America such a very special place. And we've got to do it day in and day out as our enemies work against us day in and day out. Would you agree, Winston?
I do, James. I couldn't agree with you more. I've been talking about it for the past 15 minutes. But that's just one of those. It's just part of the malady that affects conservatives. We are great grumblers, and you know, James, if
we are, that's about all we're good at.
If diagnosing a problem, if identifying a problem, could solve the problem, the problems would have been solved a long time ago. But the fact is, just talking eloquently about it, being able to express our opinions well, it isn't enough. And our enemies are more than happy to listen to us complain. They don't mind if we complain at all. But when we start taking action, that's when they get nervous, because when we do take action, we win every time.
And we still got the numbers to win, but these numbers aren't going to hold if present immigration trends continue. With that, we've got to take another break, but we'll be back.
Don't go away. Here. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Shifting gears again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to revisit a story that we talked a little bit about last week. Obviously, we don't need to talk much about it because this is a story that you've seen almost incessantly, and as you should. It's a very big story. It's a very tragic story. The news out of Fort Hood, Texas, there, the killings there, 13 of our soldiers gone, and you know the rest of the details about that. But I do want to reiterate this, first of all, before I go into just one of the most, once I think I've seen it all, I hear something that proves to me that it can always get a little more outrageous, and I'm going to conclude this segment with a quote from one of our so-called generals, and if this doesn't get your blood boiling, I don't know what will. But I want to reiterate something that I said last week on the show. I made mention of it, and I'm going to almost repeat it verbatim. And don't make any mistake in believing that the Muslims are our friends in any way, that they are some sort of allies with us. Yes, it is true. As we've said tonight, as we've said many times on this show, as the evidence points, that you have this small minority of very extremist, very radical, left-wing, anti-American, anti-Christian Zionists who have a stranglehold on our media, on our academia, on our government, and they are perhaps the biggest threat that faces America today. And because the Muslims are now also pitted in some sort of a ta-ta-ta over there in the Middle East against these same Zionist extremists, we mistakenly believe that the Muslims are our friends or in some way our allies. But that's not the case, and it's certainly never been the case historically speaking. It wasn't the case at Tours when Charles Martel had to repel a Muslim invasion that would have ended Europe as we know it. Wasn't the case at the gates of Vienna, where the Muslims were once again beaten back, famously so, but it wasn't for their lack of trying. They were coming, and they were they hated our European ancestors. They wanted to take over Europe, and they were historically always allied with the Jews, at least to an extent on some issues, and that was the way it was all the way up to the late 1940s, when the State of Israel was reestablished in the middle of their sandbox. And then at that point, they became obviously bitter enemies, and you know the rest of the story from there. But historically speaking, Muslims have never been friends or allies of our European people. And so anyway, we go down to Fort Hood once again. The Army allegedly now knew that the Fort Hood killer had tried to contact al-Qaeda, and I'm not going to get into what happened on 9/11, it doesn't matter as far as this is concerned what you believe, if the government had a role in that or if the official story was the true version. That doesn't matter in terms of this story. But two anonymous officials told ABC News that this guy had tried to contact al-Qaeda. One congressman is looking into it, but the CIA is refusing to say what they knew about Hassan and when they knew it. But continuing on with the story here, and this gets to the really, I think, remarkable point of it. General George W. Casey. This is a real jewel here, ladies and gentlemen, from page one
of the Monday, November 9th, New York Times, on the Fort Hood murders. And the story is entitled, "A Hard Time for Muslims to Serve Their Country," as if this country is their country. "A Hard Time for Muslims to Serve Their Country." That's the name of the article from the New York Times last week, last Monday. And this is what United States Army General George W. Casey had to say. And I'm quoting him directly here. You're going to think I'm embellishing it, but I'm reading it word for word. And I quote, "Our diversity, not only in our Army, but in our country, is a strength. As horrific as this tragedy is, if diversity becomes our casualty, I think that's worse." So there you have it, Winston. A United States Army general says that if we allow these horrific murders to prejudice us in any way against the Muslims who hate this country and hate our people and always have, that sacrifice of diversity will be greater than the loss of life that we saw at Fort Hood. With people like that in our Army, do we even need enemies? We're our own biggest enemy because we bought into this multicultural, you know, nonsense. What's your take on it? I mean, can you believe that we have a United States Army general saying that diversity would be a greater casualty than the loss of life we saw at Fort Hood should we allow this incident to influence our political beliefs? Your thoughts, Winston?
James, that is the thinking. That is the result of John McCain's Proposition Nation. He is talking about a notion that sounds nice and poetic, but in the end, the accepting that beautiful poetic language has resulted in the deaths of 12 service people and the wounding of, 30 others who were injured? That quote, those words that he said, they rank up there with that line in Newsweek magazine that said, "It is horrifying to think that a white child should be raised to be proud of their race." Remember that one?
Yeah.
Well, that quote by General Casey is right up there with that one. It was hateful and it was denigrating to the people who died and the people who are recovering from injuries. Now, what he has said there is, we're not going to discriminate against Muslims who want to join the Army. Now, what that means is, the man who did the shooting, he got away with it. He opened the door for other shooters to get in.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So
I mean, he might pay a price personally, but ideologically speaking, you know, this thing is going to be allowed to continue because they are not, you know, they're treating a symptom, they're not treating the disease. The disease is diversity. The disease is multiculturalism. I mean, you see it in Casey's own remarks. He believes, or at least he's saying or pretending to believe, that diversity is what makes the Army great. Now, he doesn't explain how America's military was remarkably successful for nearly two centuries despite being all white, but never mind that, Winston. And don't ask General Casey how a jihadi Muslim officer killing and wounding 43 people makes the Army stronger, because that in and of itself, to ask the question would be racist. But no, you're right. This will only foster repeat examples of such behavior because we're saying, listen, you know, you can do it.
Right,
you'll
right
pay
now
a price, but we want you to do more of it because we love this kind of diversity. And you know, a Muslim shooting up 43 people on an Army base is what makes this country great.
James, if I were a jihadist, I would be enlisting right now, knowing that there's no way in hell my enlistment would be denied.
That's
because
right.
General Casey says it's a shame. We're not going to let our diversity go
no
down
casualty
with
here,
this tragedy. Right now, they're probably telling their recruiters, let more Muslims in so we can prove that we are not afraid of Muslims. And you can be sure that among that new crop of Muslim soldiers, there is going to be at least a handful of jihadists who are going to try to carry out the same thing that this man got away with. Yes, you're right. He's going to pay a price personally, but he made his point. He opened the door for other jihadists to get into our military and to carry out the same kind of attack.
Yeah, why would you want to hide in the mountains of Afghanistan and shoot at our soldiers when you could just join in the United States Army, get a nice education, a little money, and then they'll give you a gun and you can just walk around the base and shoot people? I mean, that's the way to do it. Then you could four squares
a day. You get hot meals. You get guns. Good lodgings. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot easier to go that way than to set up there, you know, with a rag and an old Soviet, you know, rifle, you know, freezing your butt off in the mountains. I mean, I would join the army if I wanted to do damage to our army. If I was a anti-American Muslim, non-white, whatever. That's the way to do it. We're going to take another break. My goodness, we'll be back.
Successful, guys. We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We've got to get out of this
place. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. We're in a home stretch of tonight's live broadcast, and I'm happy to be with you, James Edwards and Winston Smith, this evening on the show with you on Saturday evening. November 14th, of course, each and every Saturday evening, we work hard to bring to you a thought-provoking program. We try to find news of significance out there and issue our commentary on them. We don't try to be sensational. We don't say anything in an attempt to be shocking, although, as Orwell said, telling the truth in a time of universal deceit is shocking enough, and that's what we try to do. We don't want to offend anyone. But we're certainly going to stand up for our people and our heritage, and we're going to try to tell the truth in love. But the point is, if there are issues out there that you don't think we're talking about enough, or maybe we're talking about some issues too much, we want to hear from you. We want to infuse the sort of topics that you want to hear about on this program, because at the end of the day, we are here to serve you, our listening audience. And we want to hear your opinions and suggestions about our work. We encourage you to go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and contact us. Send me an email. My email is james.edwards@thepoliticalcesspool.org. Let us know what you think about the show, good, bad, or indifferent. Now let us know what, give us some topics. Give us some suggestions about things that we can bring to the table each and every live broadcast. We love you out there in our listening audience. We want to interact with you. We want to work with you, not entertain you. We want to inform you. We want to put you to work. We want to work with you, and together perhaps we can make a positive impact and leave our fingerprints on this country long after we're gone. Well, Winston, just in time for Obamacare, this is another story that I wanted to bring to the agenda this evening. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I charged Winston with the task of trying to end tonight's show with something positive. And he's over there studiously working to try to find a story out there that will allow us to end the broadcast this evening on a somewhat uplifting note. Even I don't know what that's going to be. So the last segment, the next segment, our last segment of the night, is going to be a surprise even to me. But Winston's working on it. But this story, just in time for Obamacare, you know, any sane country would naturally restrict people with devastating communicable diseases from entering. But America went insane a long time ago, and because of that, our policies in that area are being updated. The Obama administration is now lifting the restrictions that block HIV-positive people from coming here. And, of course, the Republicans, the neocons, will blame Obama while ignoring the fact that the Bush administration was already working to lift the ban, and that always seems to be the case in these issues. And besides, if Bush and the GOP wouldn't block radical Muslims from moving to America and joining our army, for God's sake, why should Obama keep HIV-positive foreigners from just visiting? And this story, as with all of the stories we cover on this program, you can peruse the links and dive in and get more information for yourself. From our website, from our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But your thoughts, Winston, on the whole Obamacare thing, the Obama administration lifting the restrictions on HIV-positive people from coming here, just in general, what do you got?
James, when I first got wind of that story, my first thought was, my thoughts immediately went back to when the Bush administration was going to put Arabs in charge of our ports of entry for ships. You remember that?
Oh, yes, I do.
It was universally denounced as a stupid idea. I mean, you're letting Arab Muslims control the ports of entry for our ships in the wake of 9/11.
You know, we've talked about so much on this show over the last 5-6 years. I've forgotten some things, and I remember that now. That's crazy.
Well, now we're doing something just as stupid. We're opening the gates for HIV positive people. These are people with a disease that is 100% fatal. It is 100% fatal. You get HIV, you will die from it. And it is easily transmittable. It can get into the blood supply system. It can be passed on through casual sex. It can be passed on through drug use. It is not difficult to get HIV/AIDS. And yet the Obama administration, and its great love for America and its great concern for public safety, they are going to let people with HIV come into the country. James, that is its own commentary. There is so little we can say about it. It's its own commentary.
The commentary is to commentate on it entirely, because what more can you say? But unfortunately, this is some sort of an issue that the powers that be would deem debatable. You know, but this is an issue, like so many of the issues we cover on the show, to which there are no two sides. There's just right and wrong, and it seems so obvious, it's almost criminal that we would have to talk about it at all, because it's so obvious. It's common sense. You don't. Why would you want to do this? Why would you want that?
That's
a legitimate question. How could they want this?
James, if Barack Obama and Rahm Emanuel think that this is such a good idea, if they think it's such a good idea to let people with a disease come into this country and roam about freely, I would like to issue them a challenge. I would like them to say, well, we'll let Americans with firearms just stroll around the White House. You know? It's the same sort of stupid ignoring of facts. Why would they allow people with this fatal disease into the country unchecked? They might as well open up the White House for just anybody to traipse about, people with firearms.
I'm with you.
James,
I'm with you. I'm listening to you. I'm pumping my fist in support.
Well, I know there's some problems with your cell phone there, so I was wondering if we still had you with us.
It might as well be. But anyway,
they're throwing caution to the wind. They're putting public safety at risk in order to get good public relations. And that is the problem with these leftist administrations, with these Marxist administrations. They will put the public at risk in order to present a good facade.
Yeah.
What happens when the facade breaks down and all hell breaks loose? Nobody's gonna care about the good public relations.
Well,
we're only going to be concerned about the blood that has been shed and the lives that have been lost.
Well, this much is to be guaranteed. When America, if we're unsuccessful and America becomes the next Haiti, it will be all of our fault. You know, liberals will never take responsibility for their disastrous policies. Whatever goes wrong will always be the fault of white conservatives or paleoconservatives. And I tell you, you know, we'll be the next Haiti, or we'll become the next South Africa if we don't, you know, begin to take a stand. And I mean real quick, it might already be too late, but if it's not too late now, it certainly will be if we continue to allow this logical progression to continue, this progression that's been marching forward since at least the late 40s, early 50s in terms of cultural Marxism. And, you know, as we've always said, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And as America becomes increasingly populated with those folks from the third world, we will lose all the vestiges and all of the advantages and privileges of being a first world nation. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And getting these HIV dregs from the sewers of Africa ain't helping the problem one iota.
Well, James, you're absolutely right, and I already know how the left is going to support this. I already know how the left is going to defend this stupid decision. They're going to say something like, well, haven't we gotten past the point of thinking that, that immigrants are bringing diseases into the country? I mean, there was a time when Nazi Germany thought that Jews were bringing diseases into Germany. Well, folks, the truth is, yes, immigrants are bringing diseases into the country. Look at Chagas disease. It was unheard of in this country. Nobody had it until they threw open the southern borders and mestizo immigrants started pouring through. And
yeah,
now we've got
tuberculosis.
Disease.
I mean, wasn't Doc Holliday the last American with tuberculosis? It was around that time. And now it's rampant again, particularly in the American Southwest. And why is it rampant again? Well, once
because
again, that's
illegal aliens.
Yeah, exactly. To answer the to ask the question is to answer it. You know, once again.
And when the incidence of HIV and AIDS begin to spike, these Marxists are going to start scratching their heads, saying, "Wow, how did these white conservatives make this happen?"
Yeah, it was because of racism. Somehow, you know, because of the racist nature of the first world, these immigrants had to go and you know, contract AIDS. Or, well, I mean, you know, Jeremiah Wright will tell you that we gave it to them in order to eradicate them. So I don't know. Somewhere in between those two explanations will be the official answer. We got to take a break. Last one of the night. We'll be back to wrap up the show right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me. If I didn't tell him, I didn't.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Our last segment for tonight's live broadcast. Of course, we'll be back with you next week, just in time for Thanksgiving. Our next broadcast will be, of course, Saturday, November 21st, 7 days from tonight, a week from now. I was talking to you earlier about wanting to find something uplifting to leave you with at the end of this program, and we found it up in Indiana, no less. I told you last week, during the program, and I made mention of it earlier this evening, that I was in Nashville during last week's show, broadcasting from a Council of Conservative Citizens board meeting. Gordon Baum was one of the guests on last week. He is the CEO of the council, and the council is one of the few organizations that is providing positive results for our people, making a tangible impression for good. And there are some other organizations out there, believe it or not, other than this radio program, that are doing so. And there are a lot of right-thinking people out there outside of our listening audience that are at least on track with us ideologically speaking, but we need to do more to get them involved. And I got to tell you, I met a great guy last weekend in Nashville. I asked him to come home, to come on the program for the last 10 minutes this evening as he sends us home, so to speak. Matt Parrott is the chapter leader of a new CFCC chapter up in Indiana, and he's just a really sharp guy. We traded an email this week, and he said one of the things that he wants to talk about is how he, with his chapter, is pursuing discrete, quantifiable goals as opposed to defeatism, fanaticism, and egotism. And those three things, defeatism, fanaticism, and egotism, are certainly three detriments that have plagued our movement for a long, long time. It's good to see someone up there working hard and doing it the right way. Matt, welcome to the show. Are you there, Matt?
Yes, I'm there, James. Can you hear
me? Great to have you with us. I wish we had more time tonight to talk about the work you're doing up there with your chapter. What is the official name of your chapter up there in Indiana?
We're the Indiana chapter of the Council of Conservative Citizens.
Simply enough. Okay, Indiana chapter. I know sometimes they like to name them a little bit, more, what's the word I'm looking for, Winston? Outlandishly.
Well, that's the official name. The name we go by often is Hoosier Nation. Our web address is www.hoosiernation.us.
Hoosier Nation. I knew there was something more to it all than that. Yeah. But, no, Matt, listen, it's your dime, your dance floor. You're doing great work up there. We always like to showcase people that are out there making a difference and reporting to the front lines, as we try to do. Tell us a little more about your chapter, the work you're doing, and the goals that you have.
Okay, well, the exciting thing for today is that we hosted a rally in downtown Indianapolis, a rally against illegal immigration. And we had over 24 people show up, and it went very well. We registered several people to vote. We got several people to sign the petition. We signed up several people to become AM Council of Conservative Citizens members for the first time. We had some great speeches, some great people from throughout Indiana and beyond came and showed up at this rally, and it went very well, and we're working to leverage the momentum from that rally to affect some positive traditional conservative change here in Indiana.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking about it for 6 years on this show. We've been talking about it all night. You get together, you rally together, you do something, do anything. I mean, try to do it the right way. Don't just go out there and bang your head against the concrete. Try to do something that's going to be effective, but you can get positive results. See, here's Matt with a relatively brand new chapter up there in Indiana, and already they're getting dozens of people together, combating something that needs to be combated, you know, illegal immigration. Now they got 30, 25, 30 people there this time. Maybe next time they get 40 and so on and so forth, and it continues to grow and snowball. I mean, congratulations to you, Matt. That's an outstanding start up there. But where do you go from here?
Where we go from here is we've targeted some specific legislation at the state level. It's actually Senate Bill 580. It deals with human trafficking laws. It deals with the E-Verify program and a lot of these very specific issues here in Indiana. We're not out there just sort of taking on these big abstract concepts or having meetings where we just kind of pontificate endlessly about philosophical issues. We're looking at the bill and looking at how to persuade people, how to find leads and prospects, and bring them to filling out the petition and getting them to contact their legislators, and we're just mobilizing for when that bill is going to be back before the state senate, and we're going to make sure that everybody involved knows exactly who their legislators are at the state level and exactly what to tell them, and it's been very encouraging so far. And I honestly thought this would be harder than it's been. Getting started sometimes is the hardest part.
Well, I mean, people out there, conservatives especially, are absolutely starved. I mean, their brain has been deprived of oxygen in terms of, you know, out there looking for leadership, people who are going to take action. We have, as Winston said, we're professional grumblers, but there's just not that many people who are willing to take action. But when you do take action and you do provide leadership, people will come to follow. And it's not always bad to be a follower. Not everyone is in a position to take up the initiative to start up an organization and spearhead it. It's very time-consuming. A lot of our people work. Well, all of our people work. A lot of our people have children and just aren't in a position to dedicate the sort of man hours it takes to lead something, but they can offer support in terms of showing up to events and writing people and protesting, you know, when the time is right, and donating money. And there are many other ways you can help. But so, Matt, you know, I'm so encouraged because, you know, you've taken this initiative. You've joined a group, the Council of Conservative Citizens, who for a number of decades now has a track record of success. And here you are leading up a new chapter in Indiana and already are making your mark. Now, we have listeners all over the country, indeed around the world. If there's anybody up in Indiana tonight who's tuned into this program, who wants to become involved with a group, who's going to go out there and fight for them, how can they get in touch with you again, Matt?
The problem would be to go to our website, www.hoosiernation.us. And from the website, you can contact me. You can sign on to our e-newsletter. You can sign up to join the council. You can read we actually have a book that states our traditional conservative principles that you can read for free online. And you can call me personally. If you contact me through the system at the site, I'll give you my phone number. And I want to get in touch with everybody and figure out some way to put them to use. I'm done talking about it, done agreeing with each other that we're right, and I'm ready to figure out some ways to find some goals and achieve those goals.
Well, you know, when like-minded people get together, particularly good numbers of them, ideas and solutions must present themselves, and inevitably they always do. But the key is you got to get together before you can have that exchange of ideas and that exchange of activism. But you're doing it the right way, Matt. You're getting together. You're getting people rallied for political activism. You're lobbying your legislatures. You're doing all the things that the left does against us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We need more people doing it for our side, for the good guys. And up there in Indiana, it's good to know that the council has a voice, because that means we have a voice. So if you live in Indiana, ladies and gentlemen, or within a short driving radius of Indiana, you want to get in touch with Matt Parrott. He is the chapter chairman up there for the Indiana Council of Conservative Citizens. And as he's mentioned, his website is HoosierNation.us. And Matt, we have but about two waning moments left. I want to give you all the time I can in this last segment. Anything that I failed to ask you that you'd like to share with the audience before we run out of time?
No, not really. I just want to encourage everybody else out there. The wind is changing out there, and if people were trying to be active a few years ago, I think if they try it now, they'll find a much more receptive audience. This stuff politically and economically, it's happening right now, and there's some real opportunities. And the rally, what I loved about the rally is it was as many women as men, and there were kids all over the place. You barely have a conversation because there are so many children. And that's what's really promising. Whenever you've got like-minded people coming together who understand the importance of family because they have their own families.
That's right. No, you're absolutely right. And it ought to be a family movement, and it ought to be a family value type of thing. Now, obviously, sometimes you're going to be a little more animated. You're going to be talking about things, you know, a little more directly than might be appropriate for some. But at the same time, we are a family values program, and this is a family values movement. I mean, that's what we do these things for. I mean, the conservative cause, the constitutionalist cause, is something that speaks to every American, no matter what your age is. And, Matt, I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. I was really honored to have had the opportunity to meet you last weekend in Nashville. I'm glad we could showcase your work if just for a few minutes on the show tonight, and you can count on us to continue to support you in any way that we possibly can, and continue to let us know the progress of your exploits and how we can feature the work of the Indiana chapter in a little more detail. And like I said, my friend, you deserve it, and let us know what we can do to continue to assist you in your efforts up there to make Indiana a better place for our ideas.
Right, and I want to thank you, James, for everything you've been doing. You have a lot more fans out there than you might realize, some dedicated fans who believe in what you're doing and believe in what this radio show is doing. Your show has become the center of this movement.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I'm far too modest to accept that for myself. I'm very proud of what our show has done, and I think we've done a lot of good. I don't know if we're the center of anything. We're the center of my life, but maybe no more than that. But I appreciate you saying that, Matt. God knows. We say it every show, at least we try to. We love our fans, and we love what we're doing, and we hope. We're making half as much of an impact as you say, but if it is indeed true, it's a very high honor. That's all the time we have for tonight, folks. I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week.